Hello, and welcome to our program Reader's Digest, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center in San Antonio. I'm John Fisher, and during the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from Reader's Digest here on Owl Radio. First off, some fun facts. Where did all these 8 common habits and inventions come from? Here's Karuna Eberl with So That's Why We Do That in Reader's Digest. Number 1 of 8, walking 10,000 steps or aiming to. This benchmark of maintaining good health started with one of the first personal fitness pedometers. The Manpo Key hit the market in the 1960s, around the time the Tokyo Olympics boosted public interest in fitness. Its name, which translates to 10,000 steps meter, was a catchy marketing move by manufacturer Yamasa, since the Japanese character for 10,000 looks a lot like a person walking. While hoofing it obviously improves health, the target of 10,000 steps was never based on actual science. However, several recent studies have proved it to be mostly true. Research shows that middle-aged men and women who walk at least 8,000 steps per day were about half as likely to die prematurely from heart disease or develop dementia. Also, amblers had a greater likelihood of dodging strokes as well as 13 types of cancer. Counterintuitively, anything over 10,000 didn't produce much more benefit, but even walking a total of just 3,000 or 4,000 steps on top of your daily routine can lower your risk of premature death by about 40%. So, what are you waiting for? Lace up a pair of sneakers and get out of here. Number 2. Having escape release latches inside car trunks. A few nights before Halloween 1995, Jeanette and Greg Fennell had just pulled into their garage in Northern California when 2 armed men forced them into the trunk of their Lexus. As they headed south, Jeanette clawed at the carpeting, exposing wires, trying to see what had become of their baby, Alex, who was in the back seat at the time of the abduction. Eventually, the car stopped, and the kidnappers opened the trunk just long enough to get the Fennells' jewelry, bank cards, and pins. Then they slammed it shut on the Fennells and fled. Luckily, Jeanette noticed a light coming through the opening where she'd ripped through to the wires. She started pulling at the cables until one of them released the trunk. They were now free, but their baby was gone. After the couple's frantic call to 911 from a payphone, police went to the Fennells' house and found Alex cooing on the front porch in his car seat, where the kidnappers had left him. Jeanette researched similar stories and learned that many people were not so lucky. Some kidnapping victims held captive in trunks were eventually murdered. Just as distressing, some kids got stuck in trunks and died from overheating. Jeanette set out to lobby politicians and the media as part of a tireless campaign she waged to require all new cars to include escape releases in their trunks. The federal government agreed, and in 1999 mandated that all cars, starting in the year 2001, must come equipped with a trunk release latch. As for the Lexus, it found a home in a Toyota museum in Southern California. When Alex was older, he went to see it. Number 3. Putting candles on birthday cakes. Credit for our festive birthday candles likely goes to the ancient Greeks. They purportedly made cakes adorned with candles to honor Artemis, the goddess of the moon and the hunt. The round shape of the cakes was a tribute to the moon, and the lit candles made the confections glow like the moon's surface. It's said that when the candles were blown out, the smoke helped ward off evil spirits or carried prayers to the gods on Mount Olympus. How birthday candles progressed from Zeus to present day is a little more obscure. One theory puts them at pagan celebrations. pagan and other cultures believed bad spirits visited people on their birthdays, so candles and a room full of friends were necessary to protect the birthday boy or girl. A few hundred years later, birthday candles resurfaced in Germany, where the custom developed of adding one candle on the cake for each year of a person's life, plus one extra candle in the middle for good fortune in the year to come. Hundreds of years later, we're still lighting up our birthday celebrations. Number 4. Going through airport security. In the late 1960s, airplane hijackings were common. More than 50 planes were hijacked in the United States in 1968 and 1969 alone. These incidents never resulted in serious injuries, so they were mostly viewed as a nuisance, after which passengers would typically get free drinks and a good story to tell. But in 1970, an Eastern Airlines commuter flight changed everything. On St. Patrick's Day, passengers were smoking cigarettes on their $21 flight from Newark to Boston. One passenger, noted the Boston Globe newspaper, was flipping through a Reader's Digest, lingering on an article titled, "Is There a Substitute for God?" A man with a gun gained entrance into the cockpit and shot both the pilot and the co-pilot. Though mortally wounded, the co-pilot seized the gun from the would-be hijacker, shooting and wounding him, while the pilot, shot through both arms, managed to land the plane. Congress reacted swiftly, holding hearings just 2 days later regarding new airport security measures. Soon, there were 2,000 undercover and armed sky marshals aboard select flights, and by 1973, all passengers had to go through security screenings. Those ended up being the largest airline security changes until another fateful day, September 11, 2001. When three other Boston and Newark flights ended in tragedy. Number 5. Using plastic bags. In 1959, a Swedish engineer who was lamenting the destruction of forests invented a product that he thought would save the planet, plastic bags. They were stronger and cheaper than paper and included convenient handles. Creator Sten Gustav Thulin always carried one folded up in his back pocket to reuse as needed. He expected everyone else would do the same, but his creation was far more popular than he ever dreamed. By the year 1979, single-use plastic accounted for 80% of bags in Europe. By the year 1982, two major U.S. supermarket chains, Safeway and Kroger, had switched over, and from there, plastic bags quickly spread around the globe. Worldwide, we now use around 500 billion plastic bags a year. Ironically, Thulin's invention, meant to save the environment, has contributed to marine plastic pollution that is expected to outweigh all the fish in the ocean by the year 2050. Number 6. Wearing diamond engagement rings. Giving diamond-studded engagement rings is a ritual we rarely question, thanks in part to a 31-year-old American advertising copywriter named Mary Frances Garrity. She came up with the catchphrase, quote-unquote, "a diamond is forever," in the year 1947 as part of a marketing campaign launched by Britain's De Beers Consolidated Mines Limited. Sitting on a diamond lode in South Africa, De Beers set about persuading young men and women that diamonds were a crucial measure of love. The marketing campaign even went so far as to dictate how many months' salary the prospective groom should spend on an engagement ring. In the 1930s, that figure was 1 month's salary. Today, says the wedding website The Knot, the price of showing one's affection has risen to 3 months' salary. The campaign worked. Before World War II, just 10% of American brides donned diamond rings. Today, that number is 75%. Number 7. Having tamper-evident packaging. Those foil seals and breakable plastic rings on over-the-counter medications are infuriating to open. But when they hit the market in 1982, the country gave a collective sigh of relief. That's because just 6 weeks earlier, 7 people in the Chicago area had died from ingesting Tylenol capsules laced with potassium cyanide. Whoever did it slipped the poison into the bottles sometime after they had left the factory, probably after they were stocked at retail stores. No one was ever charged with the murders, and the prime suspect, James Lewis, died in the year 2023. In response, manufacturer Johnson & Johnson recalled more than 31 million bottles of Tylenol nationwide, then quickly set out to develop and deploy tamper-evident packaging. Their solution included a lining underneath the cap of bottles so consumers could easily tell if the product had been opened. Most other food and drug companies followed suit, and the new packaging was quickly mandated by the FDA. And finally, number 8 of So That's Why We Do That in Reader's Digest, saying, pardon my French. You know something juicy is about to be said when someone utters the phrase, pardon my French. For a century, we've used the idiom to excuse profanity. But why are the French the target? Blame it on the English. Only 20 miles of water, but an ocean of bitterness, separate France from England. Culture, land, they fought over it all. Tensions hit an especially acute high in the year 1066 when French patriot William the Conqueror invaded England and seized the throne. Soon the language of British aristocracy swung toward French, and though it eventually swung back, about 7,000 French words remain in the vocabulary. Because of this, pardon my French was originally meant as a way to apologize for French words someone was using that English speakers might not understand. But when feuds flared, anything rude started to be deemed, quote-unquote, French. Even leaving a party improperly became known as a French exit. Oh well, c'est la vie. Next in Reader's Digest, from Reader's Digest Canada now, 7 global sleep tips. One of these could be your key to a good night's rest. Here's Vanessa Milne of Reader's Digest Canada. Having a good night's sleep allows your body to function at its best. It boosts your immune system, lowers stress, improves mental sharpness, and may even lower your chances of overeating. But as anyone who has ever sat up at night staring at the clock knows, getting the recommended 7+ hours can be elusive. There is no shortage of techniques that really work. Sleep in a darkened, cool bedroom. Avoid prolonged screen time before bed. Get regular exercise, and aim to wake up and go to bed at the same time every day. But we unearthed some lesser-known ideas that are well worth a try, 6 from around the world and 1 from right here in Canada. Number 1, people in China wash their feet before bed. Foot massages and spa treatments that are focused on the feet, including aromatherapy and wrapping the feet in warm towels, are widely practiced across China. What could be more relaxing? The ritual is so beloved that many people perform a DIY version at home before bedtime each night. Automatic foot spas are ubiquitous in Chinese households. Every night, people soak their feet in hot water. Many machines have exfoliating and massage functions too. The routine is done right before bed, so that after you dry your feet, they are still warm when you tuck in. Beyond the hygiene aspect, putting feet in a warm basin and massaging them can stimulate blood circulation by dilating your vessels. Having warmer feet may lower your core body temperature, helping you fall asleep faster. A South Korean study in the year 2018 of people who wore socks to sleep, which warms the feet, found that they fell asleep 7 minutes faster than those who did not wear socks. And they slept for 32 minutes more, too. Number 2. Germans use separate duvets. In Germany, couples have solved the problem of one of them waking up cold whenever their partner rolls over and takes the sheets with them. While it's typical for partners to share a bed, often two singles pushed together, each chooses their own single-sized sheets and a separate duvet. Not only does that make it less likely that your partner will disturb your sleep when they move around, but you can each customize the amount of bedding you use to stay as warm or as cool as you prefer at night. Different sets of bedding can be great, says Michael Brius, a California-based author of several books about sleep and a clinical psychologist with a specialty in sleep disorders. It's useful when one partner is a cover stealer, he says, but also when partners differ in how hot or cold they feel at night. Because women generally have less muscle mass than men, they may have a lower metabolism, burning fewer calories and therefore producing less body heat. That can make finding bedding that's comfortable for both partners a problem. And separate covers could be the solution. Number 3. Guatemalans rely on worry dolls. Guatemala has a long-standing tradition of parents putting quote-unquote worry dolls under their kids' pillows to comfort them if they are afraid of the dark. Plus, children can tell the tiny dolls their worries before they go to sleep. The legend goes that the colorful fabric dolls, which are only a couple of centimeters long, can alleviate kids' anxieties by morning. But it's no longer a ritual just for children. Adults in that country and in Mexico are increasingly relying on the dolls too, according to Adriana Viagra, Mexico-based editor-in-chief of the Latin American edition of Reader's Digest. More and more, adults rely on worry dolls at night, she says. They're like a comforting presence. Anxiety can make it hard for people to fall asleep. According to a 2021 review from researchers in Germany that was published in the journal Sleep Medicine Reviews, about 50% of people with clinical anxiety also have insomnia. Not sleeping enough can lead to more anxiety, perpetuating the problem. Expressing your worries before bed can help. So why not tell them to a doll? Writing down your worries can also be effective, says Brius. We can make a worry journal by taking a piece of paper and drawing a line down the middle. You put your worries on one side and the first step to help resolving each worry on the other. Number 4. The British sleep naked. 30% of people in the United Kingdom sleep naked, or at least they did when the most recent global poll on the subject was done by the National Sleep Foundation in the year 2013. Compare that to just 12% of Americans. Not wearing clothes to bed might be beneficial for several reasons, says Brius. The biggest one is thermoregulation. It's easier for quote-unquote hot sleepers to be comfortable. He also adds that there is data linking nude sleeping with fewer yeast infections and urinary tract infections for women, and a higher sperm count for men. And a potential bonus? Healthier relationships. It's possible that couples are intimate more often when at least one of them sleeps naked, Brius says. Number 5. Many American couples sleep separately. In the U.S., some couples are getting a so-called quote-unquote sleep divorce, when one partner gives up the marital bed and sleeps in a separate room. According to a Slumber Cloud poll of 2,000 Americans who lived with a partner, nearly one-third said they had discussed sleeping in separate rooms, and 12% of them actually do. The reasons range from one partner snoring, to having different sleep schedules, to not having enough space in the bed. I'm actually a big fan of couples sleeping in separate rooms, says Prius. He says there is a stigma attached to it, since some people may think couples who sleep apart have weaker relationships than those who sleep together. But in his experience, that's not true. It's more a case of absence making the heart grow fonder. When I advise couples to split apart for sleep, they actually have more intimacy. And partners usually don't need to stay in separate rooms every night. I recommend it 4 days a week and then spending weekends together. Number 6. The Japanese nap in public and at work. According to a government survey, 40% of Japanese adults sleep fewer than 6 hours a night. That's likely why the tradition of inemuri, or quote-unquote sleeping while present, is practiced, and that includes in cafes and on public transit. As long as you don't invade other people's space when you nod off while seated, it's widely accepted, even in the workplace. Napping at your desk is frowned upon in other parts of the world, but the Japanese regularly do it. In white-collar jobs, it shows dedication. After all, the workday often extends well into the evening when colleagues are expected to socialize. Daytime napping can be a good idea if you're sleep-deprived. A French study in the year 2021 found that naps improved cognitive performance and alertness. Other research has shown that a 10 to 20 minute nap improves your mood too. And finally, number 7 of 7 global sleep tips from the Canadian Reader's Digest: Canadians cozy up with their pets. We Canadians love our pets, so much that, according to a survey of 1,800 pet owners carried out by Purina Canada in the year 2019, more than three-quarters of us who have dogs let them into our beds every night, and just over half of cat owners do. Around half to two-thirds of pet owners in the U.S., Australia, and the U.K. sleep with their furry friends, too. There's likely a good reason people feel comfortable sleeping around dogs, says David Sampson, associate professor of evolutionary anthropology at the University of Toronto and the author of Our Tribal Future. He studies the so-called sentinel hypothesis in relation to dogs, which argues that one of the main ways they helped our ancient ancestors survive was by barking to warn them of danger during the night. The relationship between dogs and humans likely goes back about 55,000 years, he says. Dogs and humans have been co-evolving. It makes sense that some people instinctively feel safer, and therefore sleep better, with a dog around. A study in the year 2017 from the Mayo Clinic found that people who let their dogs sleep in their rooms slept well, although those who let their dogs sleep on their bed slept worse than those whose dogs slept on the floor next to them. That backs up the findings of an earlier study in which more people found sleeping near their pet to be beneficial than they did disruptive. Those in favor said that it didn't affect their sleep, and some reported that it even helped them sleep better. If you do allow a pet to sleep on your bed, says Brius, be conscious of the fact that they're less clean than you are. Your animal brings pollen and dirt from outside into the bed, he says. Some can also have a breathing or sleep disorder and can disrupt your sleep. But on the whole, Brius believes animals on the bed are fine as long as they don't bother you. And that's based on first-hand experience. My two bulldogs sleep at the end of my bed, he says. Let's conclude this edition of Reader's Digest with some news from the world of medicine collected by Samantha Rideout in Reader's Digest. Instead of sprinkling salt on foods, go for more herbs and spices. Not only will they add more flavor, they're also good for your gut health, according to a study published in November 2022 in the Journal of Nutrition. The participants added 24 herbs and spices, including ginger, rosemary, basil, and cinnamon, to their diets. After 4 weeks, those who'd sprinkled even as little as a teaspoon a day on their meals increased the variety of microbes living in their digestive tracts. A diverse gut microbiome is important for overall health and well-being, including immunity. Currently, doctors diagnose Parkinson's disease based on symptoms. That's not ideal because the ailments that often appear first, constipation, depression, or sleep issues, for example, are shared by many other medical conditions. Patients may not get a definitive diagnosis until years later, when the signature tremors and stiffness of Parkinson's finally appear. That uncertainty may soon change, thanks to new lab tests that detect abnormalities in a protein called alpha-synuclein. One such test, performed via a spinal tap, was recently validated in a large American trial undertaken by the Michael J. Fox Foundation. It correctly identified 88% of the participants with Parkinson's disease and gave a quote-unquote false positive to less than 5% of the people who did not have it. Diet and inactivity are not the only things that can contribute to obesity. Other factors include age, medications, and sleep habits. Also, certain genes increase the likelihood of obesity, defined by a BMI of 30 or higher. According to research led by Sweden's Karolinska Institute, obesity affects your health differently depending on what caused it. Specifically, people with a high BMI and a genetic predisposition to obesity have a lower risk of heart disease compared to people whose extra weight is related to environmental and lifestyle factors alone. Even so, healthy lifestyles are important for everyone, whatever the person's weight or genes. Regardless of the setting, exercise is good for brain function, but you can give your brain an extra boost if you work out in pleasant outdoor surroundings. Students at the University of Victoria took cognitive function tests before and after 15-minute walks. One day, they did the walking inside, and on another day, the students followed a forested path around campus. Their test performance was better after the outdoor stroll, suggesting that kind of setting boosts brain power. Menopause plays a role in women's lower sex drives at midlife, but so do the pressures of daily life. Investigators at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine and at the University of Glasgow analyzed information from 2,133 women and interviewed some who were in the 45 to 59 age range. The women were most likely to blame a low sex drive and low level of sexual activity on all the pressures they were facing, such as those stemming from their jobs, raising children, caring for aging relatives, dealing with health issues, and shouldering most of the housework. People might find it comforting to learn that it's common to be less sexually active at this stage of life, the researchers said, and that frequency isn't the most important influence on a satisfying sex life. For the participants who were the most sexually satisfied, a feeling of closeness and intimacy in the relationship mattered more. And that can come from simply feeling supported. A good reminder to seek help when you are feeling overwhelmed. You have been listening to Reader's Digest on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program is replayed after 9 o'clock in the evening. This is John Fisher saying goodbye from Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center in San Antonio.